We're doing the Avat, the Chazonish, Emunah u'Bitachon, and we're on page Yud Dalid. We've hit the second chapter where the Chazonish discussed Bitachon, and the Chazonish said Bitachon is not the confidence that things will work out pleasantly, but rather that even at a time when one is very concerned about the outcome, one maintains his emunah, he is confident that Hashem still controls the world and at any minute can make things work out right. Umimidat ha-bitachon, and part of this trait of bitachon is lehamid atzmo al nekudat ha-emunah, that a person stands his ground and he remembers, he focuses on this concept, the emunah that he's built, even as he's standing and he's super concerned that the outcome can be so severe. His heart should be awake to the concept that he is not at the mercy of coincidence. When things play themselves out and we're super worried, so then we sometimes feel like God's not in the picture. It's a question of fate. We're at the hands of fate. Whatever will happen, will happen. And bitachon is that even at that moment, he focuses and is aware that Hashem controls the world. And that's counterintuitive. At that moment, part of what happens when one has an adrenaline rush is that one becomes super focused on what he can do to get himself out of the situation, which is healthy. But from a religious perspective, one can be even stronger if one can keep Hashem in the picture. She'en mikre ba'olam klal rak hakol meito itbarach. There is no coincidence. V'kmo shama Lulianus u'Papus, and as Papus and Lulianus, the two brothers who were being taken out to be executed by the Romans, and the Romans asked them, "What do you guys say now?" So the brothers answered, "V'anu nitchayavnu." Obviously, God has found us guilty, and so God is giving us the death penalty. V'imenata horgeinu, and if you, the governor, won't execute us, God has many ways he could kill us. There are many bears that could kill us. There are many lions that could kill us. This is a reflection of their midat ha-bitachon, that even in their final moments, they said, obviously, God wants us dead. So, fine. If it didn't happen this way, it would have happened another way. Remember, what were Papus and Lulianus? They were two brothers living in a city that the Romans threatened that they would kill the whole city because the Roman emperor's daughter was found dead and they didn't know who killed her, so obviously it must be this city of Jews. So Papus and Lulianus came and admitted to the crime. Everyone knew they didn't commit the crime, but they admitted to the crime to save the rest of the city. So the whole conversation is playing itself out as the governor knows full well they're innocent, and yet he's going to execute them. And then he says to them, guys, what do you guys say now? As they're about to be killed. They don't change their minds. They say, you know and we know what's really going on here. But we also know that obviously God wants us to get killed, and if we wouldn't be doing it this way, it would happen another way.
What is it? It's not obvious. Maybe God just wants them to be afraid for their life. It's not obvious.
They won't necessarily die, right? But their point was, even if we do die, so then God wanted us dead, and it would have happened, however, if not this way, another way. There are stories that reflect this. The problem is that people take them the wrong way. People think that if God is controlling everything, then I don't have to do anything. And that's not true. We do have a responsibility to fend for ourselves. There's a delicate balance here. That's why I'm scared of quoting the stories. They are phenomenal stories. But again, people take them the wrong way. We have to know that the fact that Hashem is running the world does not negate our responsibility to function in order to succeed. At the same time, we have to remember that He's the one that defines who will and won't succeed. Yeah?
So were to take this to mean that had they not volunteered, they would have saved someone, and they would have encountered someone in the woods and jumped in front of the bear to save that person's life, and then they would have gotten away, and then they would have been eaten or something like.
Or they would have been eaten.
They're dying. They're not that God had a punishment for them or whatever. They set themselves up in a situation to sanctify Hashem's name and to save the entire city. You know, by their death. Doesn't sound like they were happened to be or whatever. They volunteered in that situation. Like, it also says stuff about God does protect you from the heat and the cold or whatever. If you put yourself in a situation of danger, then you're judged. So it doesn't seem to make sense.
Percent. Let's look at the story again. Had they not stepped forward, it seemed like the whole city would have gotten killed. Right? So then they would have gotten killed too. The Romans were ready to raise the town, and they weren't playing games. So When they admit we did it, they're probably going to get a harsher punishment, but they're also saving the rest of the town. And if they don't do it, so someone else might do it or might not do it, and right now the whole town is in danger and no one else is stepping to the plate, right? I agree with you that it's complicated to decide where you draw that line. But that's why I'm scared of elaborating here. I'd rather hear out the Chazon Ish, because again, like the Chazon Ish said earlier, people tend to take this concept and misapply it. So let's continue. Let's hear him out. Gam ilot shel ha'atzala shet tiv'at bnei adam leishtadel ben mishtanot etzel abotech. When it comes to saving oneself and looking for an escape from one's trouble, so when one has bitachon, then the venues that one taps into are different than if one does not have bitachon. Because instead of chasing after all kinds of dignitaries in the hope that maybe this one will help me get out of my troubles or that one will help me get out, when one has bitachon, so then he realizes that his success or lack thereof is contingent on two factors. One is his ishtadlut. The other is whether God deems it fit for him to succeed. So he figures, I did my ishtadlut, right? I've been doing proper ishtadlut. And yet, so far I'm not succeeding. So instead of going crazy after the ishtadlut, maybe I should go crazy after bettering myself so that I will merit succeeding with the proper ishtadlut I'm doing. And so the boteach yefanet libo letshuva tefila utzdakah focuses on repenting, on praying, on doing charity, lavir troa gzera, to pass over, to remove the evil part of the decree. So again, within this balance, we have a tendency to go off balance in one of two directions. Either to become really lazy and say, it's all in the hands of God, why do I have to do anything, and that's wrong. Or to become super focused, as if the fact that I'm going to run around like crazy is what's going to change the outcome. I told you guys the story of my son and the doctor, right? Yeah, I told you the story. There are many stories to this effect, where you go right now, there's It's the same idea over and over again. There's a young lady, not so young anymore, she's a mother to kids, who just underwent her 10th, 15th operation trying to fix her intestines. And the reason she has this problem with her intestines is because her parents fought tooth and nail and ensured that she got into the top surgeon when she needed a surgery, a relatively simple surgery, 10, 12 years ago. And the top surgeon messed up. And it's something that the average surgeon doesn't mess up on. And it could be that he was too cocky, he wasn't focused, he was answering too many cell calls while he was operating. Who knows? But he messed up on something relatively basic. And you look at it and you say, wait a second, why'd they fight so much? Why'd they travel from state to state and do everything under the sun to get her in? Sometimes we do extra super crazy hishtadlut and then it backfires. So a person has to know there's normal hishtadlut. There's a fantastic surgeon, the head of children's surgery in Ichilov, in Tel Aviv. What's his name? I forgot his name. So he comes in, he's an old man, in his 70s. He comes into Jerusalem once a week, voluntarily, to give free service in the Kupat Cholim. So he's the head of all of children's surgery in Ichilov, which is probably the top hospital in the country. And once a week he comes in and just does regular simple things in the kupa here in Jerusalem. So one of our kids was suspect to have a hernia. And we came to him. And when I recognized who he was, I was shocked. I said, hey, why are you here? So he says, look, I came from Jerusalem, so once a week I come to give something back. So he comes for free. And then the kid needed a hernia. So I was wondering, do we go with him or don't we go with him? And the Vinograd, that's his name, Vinograd, Dr. Vinograd.
Sure.
So it made sense to go with him. If you can get the top surgeon through the kupa, you know, it's not a big deal. You pay an extra 200 shekel and you get the top surgeon, even though a hernia isn't a big deal. You know, many kids have a hernia. You don't need the top surgeon for it. But if you have him at your fingertips, you might as well take him. That would be stupid not to take him. So we took him. Both our kids had their hernias done by him. I'm not saying you run away from the best doctor if you can have him. But sometimes people go way too far on things that are simple, and they think, if I'm going to get the top, then I'm going to make sure that everything's right. You don't always have to worry that things can go wrong, and if you're worried, then there's a lot that could go wrong. One of the common areas where people go off the wall is when it comes to shiduchim. People are on the verge of getting engaged, and they say, let's do a blood test. Let's make sure we're compatible. So the truth is that there are so many genetic disorders that the average person has between 3 and 5 genetic disorders. Average, okay? The average person has between 3 and 5 genetic disorders, but there are so many of them that almost always what you have, she doesn't have, and what she has, you don't have, so it works out fine. You want to get tested, so it takes at least weeks. There are certain tests which you could only have done in a specific country in Europe, where you can't, the whole Europe and Middle East, no one does them. You know, you have one hospital in the United States that doesn't, one hospital in Europe. But if you want to get tested, you want them to test your genes, how far are you going to go? You know, you could test and test and test and test, and some people do. So that's going a little bit crazy. So there are always the extreme, and then there's the regular hishtadlut. How much do I have to worry about something? How much do I work for it? And at what point do I say, you know what? I had to do my end of it, and beyond this, it's in God's hand. The flip side of it is, I have a friend whose father was in the hospital, something relatively minor, but he was out. And the family figured he's in the hospital, everything's okay, and they left him there and he died over gross negligence. And the negligence was the doctor's negligence, because he didn't have anything so serious. If someone would have just paid attention to his symptoms, he could have been treated, and as far as we understood, he could have lived. And it was the family's negligence because they let him sit there like a dog. No one, they came in, they visited 2-3 hours a day, but their father's in the hospital and they just let him sit there. They didn't ensure there was someone at his side. One of the halachos of Bikur Cholim, taking care of the sick, is that you don't leave him alone. Someone should be with him. We say today, halachic, on Shabbos, if someone has to be hospitalized, then it's permissible for someone to accompany them. Because once it's serious enough to be hospitalized, we're not talking about a broken arm. We're talking about something. A person has an appendicitis, a person has a heart condition, a person has a liver condition. If a person has to be hospitalized, so then it can be the difference of life and death if they have someone with them or not. If you have someone with you, they can find on your behalf. They could ask the doctors. They could run after the nurses. They can say, hey, did you notice this? And did you notice that? So there's an element of hishtadlut, of a certain amount of pursuance that we do have to invest. And then there's a point where you say, I did my best, and now it's in God's hands. So there's that balance is what we will be exploring to some degree as we learn the Chazon Ish. But what the Chazon Ish is stressing is that aspect that we should remember that at the end of the day, things are out of our hands. And we do have to have that element of bitachon, that when things get really pressured, we have to realize that God is still running the show, even then. And that's very hard. It's very hard, and it's hard beforehand. It's hard as you face a challenge and you're worried about the outcome. And it's hard afterwards. It's hard after a catastrophe happens, after there's an earthquake, after something devastating happens in one's life. It's hard to look back at the things that are painful and say to ourselves, God was there and he knew it was right, because we feel it was dead wrong. We have a very hard time accepting that. So these are the places where bitachon kicks in. Not easy. We'll see more as we go on. Yeah?
You're against the Ashkenazi couple getting genetically tested?
I didn't say that. I said there's a certain amount that's reasonable and there's a certain amount that's unreasonable. What's the correct amount? So each one will ask their local Orthodox rabbi.